Okay, we're going to have to move a little bit faster. Chapter 7 through 10 is a prediction of local and far events, giving us the hope of the future in the coming child. And we'll look for this name, Emmanuel. When we first find it here, verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin shall be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." This is Isaiah 7:14. This verse is quoted in Luke's Gospel 1:31 and Matthew 1:23. It's fulfilled in Jesus, and it gives us the translation of this word Emmanuel. It means God with us. And who is this child that would be born? It's Jesus, the Messiah, born of a virgin. That's a sign that he is the Messiah. It's like, okay, someone's coming to Latvia. They're going to be flying in. You have to pick them up at the airport. But you've never seen them before. So how will you know which one he is? Well, if he gives you a sign beforehand, like he says, "I'm going to be wearing a green striped shirt, a dirty hat, polka dot pants, one brown shoe, one white shoe, and I'm going to be carrying a cage with parrots in there, and I'll be coming in on this flight at this time." You go to the airport, although you've never seen him before, you know what to expect and you can identify him. There's many hundreds of signs that God gave to know that Jesus is the Messiah. He was born in Jerusalem, born in Bethlehem, raised in Galilee. I'm going to jump to that verse. Chapter 9, verse 1, it says that the Messiah would be raised in, would live in Galilee. It says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea along the Jordan." So you look at the map and you see, well, that's the exact same place where Jesus did a lot of his ministry. Many of his disciples were Galileans. They were honored with his presence. They were honored to be with him. So we're told in Isaiah that he would be born of a virgin, would be raised in Galilee, or do his ministry in Galilee. Other passages say that he would, grow up in Nazareth. That's why he's called Jesus of Nazareth. But we continue to see prophecies about Emmanuel, this miraculous birth. In chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is given, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." It's an eternal kingdom. "He will reign on David's throne, and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So this child, who is this child? The Son. Who is the Son? Well, Jesus, he came as a child in the first coming. And at his baptism, the Father said, "Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And John 3:16, we should all have this verse memorized. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." Luke 2:11 quotes from this and says, "This is Christ the Lord, the Son of God." He had to be the Son of God in order to redeem us from our sins. He had to be born of a virgin. He had to live a sinless life. Otherwise, he would be dying for his own sins. Okay? I skipped over chapter 8, which is maybe in chronological order, will come after the birth and the early life of Jesus. Chapter 8, it says that he will be a light. Look at, a stone of stumbling. It says in verse 14, 14. He will be a sanctuary, but for both the houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. This is quoted in Peter's letter, 1 Peter 2:8, that Jesus Christ is a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. 1 Corinthians 1:23 says that we preach Christ crucified, which is a stumbling block to the Jews. How is Jesus a stumbling block? Is he trying to make people trip and fall? No. He's there either as your foundation, and you're going to either build your life on him, or you're going to trip over him and be destroyed. Why? Peter explains that he was a stumbling block because the Jews were trying to establish their righteousness by works. And it doesn't work out that way. It works out only by faith. When you place your faith on Jesus Christ, you're building on the rock. And it's a stumbling block to the Jews because it was their pride that they thought they could be good enough. And that's if we think we can be good enough, that's our pride, and that's going to be our downfall. That's the worst sin of all. Being proud, thinking that we are good enough. When the truth is, we fall so short. There's other verses here about Jesus. I don't really have time to go into all of them, but we see that word again, Emmanuel, in chapter 8, verse 8. We see the phrase, God with us, in chapter 8, verse 10. And then we see Jesus as Jesus in verse 18. Chapter 8, verse 18, here I am and the children the Lord has given me. This is quoted in Hebrews 2:13, which is how I know it's about Jesus. Just reading it, you might not think that's about Jesus. You would think it's just Isaiah speaking about him and his wife. They had a child, and that was the near fulfillment of the prophecy, that his wife would have a child. But in the far fulfillment, it's the virgin birth of Jesus. Now this word virgin, I didn't mention it earlier. In the Hebrew, it could mean either a virgin woman who has never slept with a man or a young maiden in the Hebrew. But when they translate it into the Greek, the Septuagint, which was translated before Jesus, they translated it as virgin, one who's never slept with anyone. And so that's how they interpreted it. And so it could be applying, I mean, definitely is applying to Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. In that translation. So, sign after sign after sign, we know Jesus is the Messiah. Now in chapter 9, we see, after describing the Son and his kingdom that will be forever and ever, we see more judgment against Israel, of course. I just want to point out this phrase that's repeated four times. Verse 12, the second half of verse 12, it says, yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is not upraised. And then verse 17, the last part of verse 17. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is not upraised. The last phrase of chapter 9, verse 21. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. And then chapter 10, verse 4, the last part of it. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away, his hand is not upraised. In other words, God said in chapter 1, why should I continue to beat you? Just turn from your rebellion and I'll stop. But they keep rebelling, getting beat. Keep rebelling, getting beat. Keep rebelling, getting beat. Are they learning their lesson? No. So God is pronouncing judgment against Judah. In the final two chapters of this section, verse 11 and 12, we do see Jesus, we do see some hope finally.